Less than 3 months before the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, UK, the experts of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UN body that studies the climate, published a report with harsh warnings and conclusions on the consequences of climate change. Indeed, this is an issue that has dominated much of the work agenda of governments, international organizations, summit meetings, and even political movements that have been articulated around it. Climate change has various concrete manifestations, some more tangible than others. This means that, just as the issue gains public attention, it also gives rise to those who deny its existence or minimize its importance. This diversity in the manifestations of climate change sometimes leads to a certain skepticism, which in turn is exploited by those who deny or minimize the phenomenon. Remember former President Donald Trump, during a dialogue with governors regarding the relationship between the increase in temperature in some states and forest fires, in his dismissive reply, he said, "It will cool down soon," trivializing then the whole situation. Naturally, climate change does not manifest itself in the same way everywhere. Skeptics in Canada, for example, immediately point out that if you live in a city like Montreal, you will find that winters are still as harsh and cold as ever. One can see here something that social psychologist Elliot Aronson pointed out in his book, The Social Animal, namely the contradiction between individual experience and statistical data. When reports speak of a global temperature increase based on the collection of statistical data, more than one person views this data with suspicion because it is not what their own experience tells them. In this sense, governments need to do better education on the subject and thus counteract the effect that climate change deniers may have on public policies. In this sense, it can be said that although there is a greater consensus on the issue, there is still not enough awareness for people to adapt their habits to the circumstances. The Trump-style deniers, on the one hand, although increasingly in retreat, still have some weight. Climate change deniers are more or less the same as those who deny the effects of the pandemic or oppose vaccines, wielding all sort of conspiracy theories. Generally, a sector of the global far right. Something very similar happens with respect to climate change, where the deniers are the same, although it is known that changes in weather patterns have occurred since prehistoric times, the Ice Age, for example, several thousand years ago, or more recently, a cold wave in the 10th and 11th centuries that would have had an effect on the abandonment of Viking settlement in North America, what gives a unique character to this particular climate change today is the obvious human factor as a cause or as its accelerating factor. Climate change manifests itself in rising temperatures in some parts of the world, which has raised alarm bells because eventual melting of ice at both poles could raise ocean levels, but also in extremely cold temperatures as we have had here in Canada in recent winters. So there is no single way it manifests itself, although being in summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, we have been impacted by forest fires affecting the west of this country, especially British Columbia, as well as on the west coast of the United States, and in Europe, those affecting Greece and Turkey. As is well known, dryness is a contributing factor to forest fires. In the Southern Hemisphere, we have also seen fires in the Amazonia, while drought is affecting parts of Argentina, Chile, and Peru. There is no doubt, then, that climate change is a burning problem that requires preferential attention. On the one hand, with rationality, because panicking does not solve anything either. But above all, concerted international action is needed, with each country doing its part according to its resources. Canada, although its small population does not have a very large impact on the emission of greenhouse gases, estimated at only 3% of the world total, on the other hand, has the potential to develop cleaner forms of energy while introducing less polluting means of transportation. It will be, for example, the opportunity to reactivate and modernize rail transport throughout the country. This will also contribute to changing people's habits. Climate change is a reality that must be dealt with in a rational and positive way, and we must start now. Good day.
Dejando la flor atrás, sigo el llamado de otra senda, queriendo seguir al sol, casi olvidado de esta tierra. Partiendo tambor atrás sobre el océano me llega el perfume de una edad que es más fuerte que está cerca. Camino que hace rotar un vendaval de primaveras, siguiendo tu libertad en cualquier sitio abro esta trenza. Corriendo hacia otra estación para olvidar la vida entera. Mi Dios me acompaña al hombre si se acaba esta vela. Yendo y viniendo, pie que avanza, nada vuelve atrás. Sigue envolviendo tu paso, incesante su andar. Y otra marcha sacude otra despedida, de un nuevo compás, yendo y viniendo hacia esperanzar el desierto atrás. La rueda expulsa tu carro, lo frena, lo avanza. Ese espacio infinito que llena el cielo, todo lo habrás de surcar. De un nuevo compás, yendo y viniendo hacia este danzar, el desierto atrás. La rueda expulsa tu carro, lo frena, lo avanza. Ese espacio infinito que llena el cielo, todo lo habrás de surcar. en 5 siglos. De grietas se hace el color de no habrá navegación de olvido. Y me vale la razón que detrás del sonido espera. La piedra vence al puñal en la futura que se aleja.
Si no bailas conmigo, ¿con quién más voy a bailar? Si no me das tu cariño, ¿de quién más lo podría necesitar? Me has echado al olvido y me rompe el alma. Y aunque tú no estés conmigo, te tengo que avisar. ¿Qué me pasó cada noche en vela, esperando a que se cumpla esta condena? Porque desde que tú bailas ya con ella, mi cuerpo pide más. Siento adrenalina en las venas, esta cumbia se rejuzaga mi pena. Y si tú la bailas, me podrás recordar. Quiero un amor que cuando haya los días de invierno no temen dar mi calor. Y quiero un amor que me busque en el cielo y la tierra para sentirme mejor. Y me pasaba cada noche en vela, esperando que se cumpla esta condena. Porque desde que tú bailas ya con ella, mi cuerpo pide más. Siento adrenalina en las venas, esta cumbia se rezaga mi pena. Que si tú la bailas, me podrás recordar. Pero sé que tú no vas a llegar. Me has echado en el olvido y me rompe el alma. Y aunque tú no estés conmigo, te tengo que avisar. Que me pasé cada noche en vela, esperando que se cumpla esta condena. Porque desde que tú bailas ya con ella, mi cuerpo pide más. Siento adrenalina en las venas, esta cumbia se rebuzaga mi pena. Y si tú la bailas, me podrás recordar. Quiero un amor que cuando haya los días de invierno no temen darme calor. Y quiero un amor que me busque en el cielo y la tierra para sentirme mejor. Y me he pasado cada noche en vela, esperando a que se cumpla esta condena. Porque desde que tú bailas ya con ella, mi cuerpo pide más. Y siento adrenalina en las venas, esta cumbia se refuzaga mi pena. Y si tú la bailas, me podrás recordar. Pero cuando amanezca me verás crecer, como la hierba muerta vuelve a florecer. Y sentirás
rondando la muerte, ahí llega de pronto queriendo bailar. La vida amorosa de corazón fuerte prohíbe tajante su entrada al lugar. Creo que gozas de muy mala suerte al baile del mundo. No puedes entrar y al tiempo del 3x4 le advierte el vals de la vida, no sabes marcar. Muerte regresa por donde viniste,
recoge tus pasos, anda para atrás. Mira que nadie quiere estar triste, y ahora es la risa que marca el compás. La muerte se aleja, callada no insiste. Un, dos, tres, un, dos, y empieza este vals. Y girar nada más, la vida un soplo fugaz. Aprender a sentir como el mar, sus olas vienen y van, y morir cada vez como el sol que apaga y enciende el color, y curar con los pies el dolor, bailando llenitos de amor. Ecos del baile ya escucha silencio, de la multitud ensaya los pasos sin pretendiente, bailando solita pero con actitud. Mientras la vida loquita inconsciente no acata, no aprende, esa no es su virtud. La ausente aparece otra vez de repente, sorprende marcando con exactitud. Yo soy la muerte y sin bienvenida, quien baila conmigo hasta el amanecer. La vida reclama, no seas atrevida, pero un desafiante no quiere ser. Joven apuesto, ella está decidida. Un, dos, tres, un, dos, empieza a mecer. Y girar nada más, la vida un soplo fugaz. Aprender a sentir como el mar, sus olas vienen y van, y morir cada vez como el sol que apaga y enciende el color, y curar con los pies el dolor, bailando llenitos de amor. Indiferentes al baile los vivos, giramos, giramos sin ton ni son. La muerte hace tanto perdió los estribos, la vida hace cuanto, también la razón. El vals de la muerte nos tiene cautivos, y ahora bailamos sin acentuación. Todos creemos y con adjetivos que somos los dueños de su canción. Cadencia del mundo la más delirante, dolor que nos besa otra vez y otra vez. Que bailen su baile los dos amantes. Memoria y olvido en un tentempié. Un paso atrás y otro adelante. Un, dos, tres, un, dos, seis, como el cien pies. Y girar, nada más, la vida un soplo fugaz. Aprender a sentir como el mar, sus olas vienen y van, y morir cada vez como el sol que apaga y enciende el color, y curar con los pies el dolor, bailando llenito. Thank you.
Y ahora vamos al fichero latino del día de hoy, 15 de agosto. Entre los eventos tenemos llamado a artistas inmigrantes que quieran promover su trabajo a través de talleres. Artistas que te interesen pueden contactarse antes del 4 de septiembre de este año a la dirección email siguiente, info@nativeinmigrant.com.
Edición chilena, o más bien dicho, edición inglesa del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Hervas, ya está a la venta en librería Argos en el 1915 Saint Catherine Oeste y en la librería Paragraph 2220 McGill College Avenue. Precio $10 más impuesto.
Présence chilienne dans la Belle Provence, version française du livre Présence chilena en la Belle Provence, sera en vente à partir du mardi à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, c'est-à-dire le 325 rue Chambriand, angle Dessel. Le prix c'est de $10 plus taxes.
The book Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en La Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martinez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1915 St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue. Price $10 plus tax.
Y entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos vacunas contra el COVID-19. Las reservaciones están abiertas en Montreal para ser vacunado contra el COVID. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés e inglés. Y también se puede llamar por teléfono al 1-877-644-4545. Repito, 1-877-644-4545.
Ah, y usted puede ganar también hasta $1,000,000 en la Lotería de Quebec para todos los que se hayan vacunado. Inscripciones en el internet yendo al sitio quebec.ca/ concours vaccination.
Los próximos sorteos de un premio de $150,000 tendrán lugar los días 20 y 27 de agosto y el de $1,000,000 el día 3 de septiembre. También hay premios de becas para los menores de 18 años. Una sola inscripción basta para participar en todos los sorteos.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, soleado con una temperatura máxima de 26 grados. Para esta noche, despejado con una mínima de 14 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que deseen difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook, vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet entre el sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Y tu risa a su alrededor, fuego y secreto de este viejo amor. Veo las líneas que se van al espejo de la memoria, abrazos que no están acá. Solo en la ruta mi cara al viento, solo en la ruta.
desigual a los silencios de una canción. Si no están, no hay lugar para respirar.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
Hey there, I'm Paul Kaltenbach, live in Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and you're tuned to International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, August the 15th. My name is Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. It's our weekly visit with you with half an hour of news and information from the world of radio. We invite you to get in touch with us. RadioReport@yahoo.com is our email address. If you would like to listen to us live streaming, if you're out of range of CKUT in Montreal, you can find us at ckut.ca. The program is also archived there. And our Facebook group is growing, 620 members. We welcome four new people this week, John, Michael, Terry, and Massad. We thank them for joining us. You can find us on Facebook at International Radio Report. And a popular way to listen to our show and previous shows is our YouTube channel, youtube.com/International Radio Report. And you can subscribe there as well and receive notice each time the latest program is posted up there for you. So lots of ways to track us down, and we thank you for being here. We have a number of stories for you as usual this week. We start off, sadly, with the passing of a well-known broadcaster from National Public Radio, and it is Neil Conan, the longtime host of NPR's Talk of the Nation, has died at 71 years old. This comes from NPR via Eric Cottrell in Lynn, Massachusetts. Neil Conan was a radio journalist, producer, editor, and correspondent who served for National Public Radio for more than three decades and was a senior host of its talk show, Talk of the Nation, from 2001 to June 27, 2013, when that program was discontinued. Conan hosted NPR's Talk of the Nation for the 11 years. After spending 36 years with the organization, he moved to Hawaii to become a macadamia nut farmer and served as a commentator for Hawaii Public Radio. From 2017 to 2018, he returned to national radio for a show called Truth, Politics, and Power, which aimed to use in-depth conversations to help listeners learn the history, politics, and risks of the decisions behind President Trump and his administration, according to the show's bio. Conan was NPR's second ever foreign correspondent. Remembering Conan's career and legacy, NPR journalist Robert Siegel recalled Conan's crash course in hosting Talk of the Nation. His first day on the job was in 2001, just a day before 9/11. NPR Weekend Edition Sunday host Lulu Garcia Navarro called Conan's passing incredibly sad news for NPR and journalism. Conan was an extraordinary journalist who was the founding father of our public radio system, she added. His hosting skills were miraculous, and he could hold the air and distill complex issues live for hours on Talk of the Nation. As a journalist, he was passionate about getting it right. As a radio producer, his rigorous commitment to excellence defined the NPR style of storytelling and sound we now take for granted. Neil told me repeatedly how grateful he was to be part of NPR's creation and to help build its future. So another longtime broadcaster gone. We have too many of these stories lately. It's kind of sad that these, you know, these traditional, well-schooled and well-experienced broadcasters are leaving us.
Absolutely.
But that's the way it goes.
Yeah, that is sad. I mean, especially, you know, on NPR, I mean, the highest, it's a really high quality journalism. So, you know, when we lose somebody from a service like that, it's really sad, unfortunately. So radio listening apparently is at highest level in over a year, and this is via Radio Inc. And despite the most recent fears about the more contagious Delta COVID variant, Nielsen says audio use continues to increase, and that's being driven by people getting out of their homes. And one of the radio's biggest strengths is reaching people in their cars, according to Nielsen's latest Audio Today report. Among the employed, two-thirds are now working outside the home, up more than 70% since the height of lockdown in the spring of 2020. As a result, the AM/FM radio audience just recorded its highest level in 16 months across Nielsen's PPM markets. According to Nielsen's latest report, in June 2021, 40% of heavy radio listeners listen in the car, compared to 28% in April 2020. Radio listeners are active and mobile and are more likely to shop for groceries in a store, 87%, drive in their vehicle, 83%, or get together in person with friends and family than the average adult, 62%. The latest study from Nielsen's PPM Markets says radio remains America's top weekly reach medium, and audiences are shifting back to the pre-pandemic habits with in-car and out-of-home consumption increasing. I mean, this is expected as we go back to work, drive in a car. The car is, you know, one of the, probably on top, one of the most popular ways people listen to radio. So as everybody's going back to a more normal-ish life and go to work, of course, the commute time, you listen to the radio, listen to your favorite programs.
I think the only time you don't see this, and you probably have seen it on TV commercials, where they show a family in the car,
yeah,
and the parents may be listening to the radio, but the kids are in the back, got the headset on, and they've got their iPhone, or they've got whatever device they're using, and they're listening to what they want to listen to.
Yeah.
So there's independent listening going on, even in within the car environment in some cases. But I think an individual, or you know, maybe a couple in the car driving somewhere, I think it's just easier to turn on the radio.
Absolutely.
We next move out to the west coast of the United States, to Seattle, and this is a really interesting story. It is headlined Daybreak Star Radio, a brand new indigenous radio station. It comes from the Columbian, and we thank Alex Kaminsky of Springboro, Ohio, for passing this story along. On his screen, DJ Harris Francis notes that the blue pins on a U.S. digital map indicate that people are currently tuning in from the Pacific Northwest and Oklahoma. Right here, Native American, 24/7, coming from Seattle, he says. Thanks for listening. In Francis's case, right here is a small soundproof room on the lower floor of the Daybreak Star Cultural Center in Seattle's Discovery Park. The longtime Native Community Center and headquarters of the United Indians of All Tribes Foundation is now home to a brand new and rare initiative, Daybreak Star Radio, an international online radio station fully dedicated to Indigenous music, arts, and culture. The station launched last month and last week premiered a rotating cast of DJs, including the hip-hop-focused Jamie DJT Thomas, who will be broadcasting from the Lapway, Idaho, on the Nez Perce Reservation, and David Hilaire, also known as DJ Big Rez, of Bellingham radio station KZAX, a member of the Lumi Nation. An Android and iOS app will be released in the coming weeks. Our goal is to be the number one Native American radio station in America, says Francis, the station's program director, who, by the way, is not Native. Though Daybreak Star Radio's mission is to indigenize the airwaves, a motto written in white on a large red banner hanging near the DJ table, the music isn't actually broadcast on the airwaves in the radio and television sense, but rather digitally via a browser or app. That's a lot easier and cheaper than establishing an FM station, and has a much wider reach potential, as it's accessible to anyone with an internet connection. Provided they have internet access to or 4G, every single reservation could get our station, says Daybreak Star Radio station manager Sherry Steele, an enrolled member of the Peoria Tribe of Oklahoma. Our goal is to reach Native peoples, specifically of the Americas, everyone from Chile to the Arctic. We want the tribal peoples involved, and we want their music, and we want people to hear it. The vast majority of aired songs, about 95%, are produced, written, created, or played by Native American or First Nations peoples. Daybreak Star Radio plays music from all over the Americas, as well as some other world tribal music. They also play music by non-Indigenous artists who advocate the Indigenous causes, such as Standing Rock, or who help preserve Indigenous musical knowledge. Licensing deals are in the works for a daily Indigenous news broadcast and The War Cry, a podcast that takes a crime story approach to the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women. The station is also in talks with other podcasters and Native storytellers. So you can find this station online at daybreakstarradio.com. That's daybreakstarradio.com. This really hits home with me. A number of years back, in I think it was 2008, I was doing some work at a local Native station in the Montreal area at the Mohawk Reserve in Ganawage. And it was a station on a reserve that operated 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, yet they played no Indigenous music. And after I was there for a little while, I got together with one of the ladies that worked at the station. She was a lady that had been working there for over 30 years and knew all the customs and traditions of the and the culture of the Mohawk Nation. And I got her to go on the radio for the first time. She'd worked there for 30 some odd years and had never been on the radio. She didn't want to be on the radio. So I talked to her about, I said, why don't we put some Native music on the air? And she thought, oh, that would be really great. Who do you want to do it? And I said, you. And she was like stunned. She was terrified. She didn't want to do it. She said, okay, I'll do it on the condition that you do it with me. So we started the show, and we were doing 2 hours a week on a Monday evening. She named the program The Eagle Cries. And we found all this music that was lying around the radio station from Indigenous artists that wasn't being played at all. And we started playing it on the air, and we'd start talking about some of the customs and traditions of the Native people. And she had great stories to relate. And everyone loved it. Even the local community was calling in and saying, wow, you know, you guys are playing music we never heard before. You're talking about things we've never heard about before. And then the station had reach outside of the reserve as well. So people from all over Montreal were tuning in and listening to it. So it was a great time, and it was a great initiative at the station. So when I saw this story, I thought, you know, this is exactly what these people are doing, because if Native stations don't play this music, it just doesn't get played anywhere else.
Nobody will play it. It's interesting, because when you tune the bands, tune the FM radio band, and you hear all these stations that are directed for different communities, and, you know, stations like these for the First Nations, for some reason, although some do focus on their culture, a lot of them, for some reason, want to be like mainstream radio. And, you know, it's not what you want, and it's not what it should be. If you have a specific station for a specific community, why not focus on your own music and your own culture rather than try to be like any other FM station?
Yeah, I was looking and listening to this station a little bit online, and one of the artists I saw being played was a lady named Bear Fox. And Bear Fox was an artist from Akwesasne, which is the next reserve a little bit west of Montreal, right at the Ontario border. And we received a couple of her CDs and started playing them on the radio. And everybody loved it so much, we actually got her to come to Ganawage and do a concert. And this was, as I said, way back in 2008. And here was this radio station now in Seattle playing her music. So it was really kind of neat to see, you know, that her music had made it that far and that it was still out there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what is happening with our sun? Well, it is rather quiet. We had a few days without sunspots. Right now, one sunspot group, making, of course, a sunspot number 11. And nothing much, no coronal holes. It's a quiet sun for the moment. Solar flux is low at around 71, 72. But we did have a little bit of geomagnetic activity from the solar wind that was a little faster than normal at certain times this week. Of course, we are still, and, you know, it lasts for a couple of weeks. There's the Perseid meteor shower active right now, one of the biggest of the year. So if you're in a dark sky area, even if the peak has passed, you still have at least a week of, you know, seeing some of these meteors shoot across the sky, so why not take a look up? And who knows, if something happens, you might see auroras or whatever, but the sun is rather quiet. Conditions are expected to continue this way for now. Let's hope that things will pick up a little more. And you know what? Even when it's quiet on the sun, it might not be quiet on the radio, so you got to turn it on.
I'm Richard Cuff of Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're tuned to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We next move to a really big story. Lots of things going on with respect to Afghanistan, and we have a story related to that.
Yep, it's suspected Taliban kill Afghan radio station manager, kidnapped journalist. This is VOA News via Alex Kaminsky. Suspected Taliban fighters killed an Afghan radio station manager in Kabul and kidnapped a journalist in southern Helmand province, local government officials said on Monday, reporting the latest in a long line of attacks targeting media workers. Gunmen shot Tufan Omari, the station manager of Paktia Gag Radio, and an officer for NAI, a rights group supporting independent media in Afghanistan, in a targeted killing in the capital on Sunday. Omari was killed by unidentified gunmen. He was a liberal man. We are being targeted for working independently, says the head of NAI. Last month, the NAI report, at least 30 journalists and media workers have been killed, wounded, or abducted by militant groups in Afghanistan this year. In southern Helmand province, officials said Taliban fighters had seized a local journalist from his home in the provincial capital on Sunday. There is just absolutely no clue where the Taliban have taken Hamat. We are really in a state of panic, said the head of the private TV channel where Hamat was employed. A Taliban spokesperson told Reuters that he had no information on either the killing in Kabul or the abducted journalist in Helmand. A coalition of Afghan news organizations have written to the U.S. President Joe Biden and leaders in the House of Representatives, urging them to grant special immigration visas to Afghan journalists and support staff. It's a very worrying situation that's happening in Afghanistan. I've been following this quite a lot this week, thanks to an amazing coverage from the BBC World Service. If you want to know what's happening, and I mean you almost have the impression of being there, their journalists are amazing on the field there. BBC World Service has several frequencies that make it quite well to North America in this summer schedules. So if you want to try and follow a little bit more about the news of what's happening, and of course, you know, thinking of all these journalists that are, you know, risking their lives to report all of this news coming from Afghanistan. 0 to 01 UTC on 9575 is pretty good. This is from the Wolverton, UK transmitter site. 04 to 05 UT is also very good. 9915, it's broadcast from the Madagascar relay. In North America, the afternoons, like somewhere around from 18 to 20, 21 UTC, 11, 810, and 12095 are not bad. And if you're on the East Coast particularly, might have a pretty good chance on these two frequencies. In Europe, these frequencies come in really, really well. They are from the Ascension Island transmitter site. So try to follow the BBC World Service if you can get it on your radio. A really extensive and amazing coverage of what's happening there. And let's hope that, you know, not too much more of these are going on, because it's sad to see that, you know, kidnappings and killings of people, of the media, because simply because they're reporting what's happening and telling the world. People are, you know, putting their lives at risk so that we know what's happening over there.
I think, you know, as they're saying, the Taliban may have control of pretty much the whole country within a matter of a couple months.
Yeah.
You would have to think they're going to be targeting the media to try and take control of the media as well.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what sorts of programming will be coming from outside of Afghanistan trying to get information into the country as well. So we may see some sort of clandestine broadcasting start to appear, maybe using some of the big relay stations that we've seen in the past, like the one in France, etc. So yeah, it's going to be something to follow closely, and I'm sure there's going to be, as you said, a very dangerous situation for any reporters that are still there trying to get the news out to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, once again, showing the importance of shortwave in a country where, you know, a group starts controlling everything. The only way to get your news now is through a shortwave radio.
That's for sure. We've been last week we talked about this, the long-wave beacons that the that Canada was decommissioning, and that has happened now. Some of those stations have gone off the air. Both you and I were doing some monitoring this week to try and pick up a couple of them in here in Quebec that we're going to shut down, and we had some pretty interesting conditions. And you were we were doing it in different ways too. I was using my Kenwood R5000. I did a little bit with the SDR. You had some good success though with some portable radios.
Yep, we used the Texan H501X, and I also used the Texan PL990X because I knew they were pretty good on long wave. Also, the ferrite makes it very directional, so you have the possibility to have an idea and pinpoint the radio in different directions. And I was very surprised to hear so many, especially, you know, I did it from my backyard, which is the big noise central of Montreal. So I was pretty surprised that I could hear so many. And a couple actually surprised me a lot. YFM on 332 from La Grande, which is, you know, in the northern parts of Quebec. Kuchuarapik also is the one that surprised me, the GW on 371. Petawawa, Ontario, YWA also was nice on 516. Of course, I heard, I think, three in total of the decommissioned, and they're all gone now. So unfortunately, UL on 248, which is the one in Montreal, 260 was UFX. I'm trying to remember the other one. I don't. Actually, it gave me even more incentive to use my radio. I want to go to the park one evening. I'm going to wait after sunset and head on with the radio, and it's going to have lower noise. Try to see if I can even get more of them, because it's surprising. I was amazed at what I could get.
Yeah, if you're not really sure what it is that we're talking about, these are navigational beacons, aeronautical beacons in most cases, that are set up close to airports in general. The planes are able to lock into these and use them for positioning, etc. But they are CW markers. They repeat their call letters in Morse code, and usually have a 2 or 3 letter call. And they're in the long wave band. So you can start tuning from, what, say, around 200 kilohertz and go all the way up to just below the medium wave band where it starts at 530 kilohertz. And I was able to log 19 different beacons in one evening. Five of those were in Ontario, so that's, you know, that's a good distance from here at home. The one interesting one I had was on 223, which is a beacon that was listed on the beacon list as already being decommissioned, yet for some reason it was still active. That was YYW in Armstrong, Ontario. I haven't looked up where Armstrong, Ontario is yet, but it's on 223 kilohertz. So not the most exciting radio listening you'll ever hear, just with the beacon call signs coming through. But it's kind of neat to, you know, just to see what you're able to hear, how good your radios are at picking these up, how good your antennas are, how much noise there is. And, you know, in some areas you're really going to have a hard time. But it's a lot of fun, and it was a good evening of tuning around and giving your Morse code a little bit of practice as well.
Yep, and it's, you know, the fun of getting some of them that are quite far away for, you know, low frequencies like that. And if you don't have, because you don't have to worry, if your radio doesn't have single sideband, it doesn't matter. Because often when we talk Morse code, we talk single sideband. Although you can use single sideband to help enhance and maybe get the weak beacons, those are kind of easy to hear on an AM mode radio. So, because you hear the tones easily. So you don't need single sideband. If your radio just has AM reception, it's going to work. You can, as long as it gets long wave, of course.
And you can get the list of beacons from William Hepburn's DX Info site, which is really, really good. He's got them all listed out there with the call letters, the frequency, the location, and he also gives you the power. Is helpful as well, because they're not all broadcasting at the same amount of power.
Absolutely. So take a listen, because they're slowly going away, and at some point in time, we won't have any more. So there's some upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we have three of them coming up next weekend that you might like to try. One is really quite specialized. It's the ARRL 10 gigahertz and up contest. It varies in time in your local area, 0600 local August 21st to 2359 local August the 22nd, sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. The objective of 10 gigahertz and up is for North American amateurs to contact as many amateur stations in as many different locations as possible in North America on any of the amateur bands 10 gigahertz all the way up through light frequencies. Amateurs are encouraged to operate from more than one location during this event. So this is something truly special. You kind of need special equipment, special antennas to give this a try. So check it out. We'll put up the link for all the information about it.
Yep, this one is not for me, as the highest frequency I can listen to, I think, is 3 gigahertz.
Yeah.
There's the North American QSO Party, SSB, 1800 Zulu, August 21st to 0559 Zulu, August 22nd, sponsored by the National Contest Journal. The object, to work as many North American stations as possible during the contest period. Mode, SSB, bands 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters only.
And finally, we have something for new hams. This is something that the ARRL is doing. It's the ARRL Rookie Roundup, and this is for radio teletype, RTTY, 1800 to 2359 Zulu, August the 22nd. The mission of this activity is to encourage newly licensed operators, or rookies, in North America, including the territories and the possessions, to operate on the HF bands and experience competitive amateur radio operating. Experienced operators, non-rookies, are strongly encouraged to participate and help new operators, either on the air or in person. So the objective, rookies exchange information with as many other stations as possible on 80 through 10 meters. And the mode, as I said, is RTTY, limited to no more than 100 watts.
Lots of stuff to listen to and to participate. And we are now out of time.
Very good. We squeezed as much as we could into our 30 minutes. We thank you for tuning in. If you have any information for us, you can pass it along by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, or post it up on our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We will talk to you again next Sunday morning with the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Concours Gagner à être vacciné? Votre vaccination contre la COVID-19 pourrait vous rapporter gros. Chaque vendredi doux, un lot de 150 000 $ et deux bourses d'études de 10 000 $ sont à gagner. Et le 3 septembre, 16 bourses d'études de 20 000 $ et un gros lot d'un million de $ seront tirés parmi les doubles vaccinés. Inscrivez-vous dès maintenant au concours Gagner à être vacciné au québec.ca/concours-vaccination. Plus vite vous êtes vacciné, plus vite vous pouvez participer. Un message du gouvernement du Québec. La vaccination contre la COVID-19 se poursuit partout au Québec. L'effet combiné des deux doses assure une meilleure efficacité du vaccin, en plus de réduire le risque d'avoir et de transmettre le virus. Vous serez aussi protégé sur une plus longue période. Il est primordial de vous présenter à votre rendez-vous pour la deuxième dose du vaccin, peu importe ce qu'il y a d'autre à votre horaire. La deuxième dose du vaccin est essentielle. un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.